you, Carol. Trust that that was a blessing to you. Let's come to the mercy seat now in a word of prayer. If you're joining with us in your own home, then let us just pause and be still and seek the Lord and come before the mercy seat. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer. We remember in the Old Testament time, whenever the high priest would come into the most holy place of the tabernacle once every year, he came in with the blood of the sacrifice and he sprinkled it upon the mercy seat. And he was signifying and teaching that we as sinners could come before the Lord, come before his presence, come and make requests on the basis of the blood of the sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he shed his life's blood as a sacrifice for sin. He became the sin bearer and the substitute. We thank you, Lord, that he laid down his life that we might have eternal life. We come to thee at this point in time, Lord, and we want to confess it is a time of trial. It's a day of hardship. It is a day of trouble, not only here in this province, but throughout the world. And O God, our Father, we ask that thou wilt be pleased particularly to remember thine own dear people in the Church of Jesus Christ. The hand of God's protection will be upon them, and that thou wilt be merciful and gracious unto us. We want to pray, Lord, for the people of this world, and we recognize that thou art speaking. Thou art showing thine own sovereignty. Thou art showing, Lord, that thou art high above all and over all. And Lord, we pray that men and women will see the weakness of man, the frailty of man, the uncertainty of life, and the reality of death and eternity. We pray that each one will come to see that Jesus Christ is the only Saviour and the only giver of eternal life. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, especially that thou wilt remember for good, protect, bless and help, strengthen those who work in the medical service, the health service, and the medical care teams. We pray for their protection, that as they seek to nurse men and women back to health from this awful disease, that thou wilt be near unto them, that thou, Lord, will protect them, and that thou wilt give them strength, not only physical strength, but Lord, endue them with help from on high, that, Lord, they may be able to treat those that are in need. We pray for the aged, we pray for the sick and the vulnerable. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt place thy healing touch and hand upon them. We want to pray especially for those who are afflicted with this virus at this time. We pray that, Lord, they will be recovered. And we ask, Lord, especially for those we've heard of, those that we're aware of, and either they or family members are at home, and Lord, they have these symptoms, and Lord, they're struggling. We just pray that the gracious hand of the Lord will be upon them, and Lord, that thou wilt rescue them, and that thou wilt raise them up to health and strength once more. So, Lord, we want to commit to thee our Bible study this evening. We pray that thou wilt bless it. The word of God is able to give us comfort, strength and support at this time. And we pray that as we look into the sacred pages, that, Lord, thou wilt open the book to our understanding, open our hearts to the book. And we pray that it will be a blessing indeed for all of our souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to read some verses of scripture tonight. I was thinking about the Wednesday nights and about the Bible study and what we could possibly do or look at or study over the next few weeks while we're all shut within our homes. And a man was laid upon my heart, a man in the scripture. He was a king, one of the kings of Judah. It was King Jehoshaphat. And the record of his life is recorded in Kings and in the Book of Chronicles. And I want you to turn, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And this evening we're just going to read the first seven verses, the first six verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 17. So find the place, or if you haven't a copy of the scriptures before you, then just listen as we read these verses. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honour and abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. Amen. We end our reading at the verse 6 of 2 Chronicles chapter 17. The verses that we have read just now from God's word, they record the commencement of the reign of King Jehoshaphat. He was one of the early kings in the nation of Judah. You will recall that after the death of Solomon, the kingdom of Israel divided into two. After Solomon passed away, his son Rehoboam reigned in his stead. During his days, 10 tribes, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, they went their own way. They set up their own king, Jeroboam, because Rehoboam, they deemed, was taxing them too highly. And so they rebelled and they set up their own kingdom. The Lord warned Rehoboam not to go to war with his brethren, but rather that the thing proceeded from off the Lord. So the kingdom was divided into two. Rehoboam reigned in Judah, and then Jeroboam reigned over the 10 northern tribes of Israel. After Rehoboam, his son Abijah reigned over Judah. After Abijah, a king by the name of Asa. And Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. And so Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa. And when Asa died, Jehoshaphat reigned in his stead. Asa was a godly king. We see him at his best in 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11. Let me read that verse to you. We're just showing you sort of the family that this king came from. He was brought up in a good home. He had a godly father, and he was established in the ways of the Lord. And I'm just saying that Asa was a godly king, and we see him at his best in 2 Chronicles 14 and the verse 11, where Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. That was a prayer of faith. We rest on thee. And as Christians today, whether it's today or in our past or for the future, we're resting upon the Lord. And in the midst of the circumstances that are facing each one of us, what a prayer that is, to rest upon the Lord for all things. And Asa, facing the battle, was resting in the Lord. However, Asa wasn't a perfect man. And in fact, he made certain mistakes. I said we've seen him at his best in that verse, where he's trusting in the Lord on the verge of battle and resting in his God. But if you turn over to chapter 16 and verse 12, you'll see him actually at his worst. It says, "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign," chapter 16 and verse 12, "was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians." if you take time to read chapter 16, you'll discover that Asa was upset by the message of the prophet of the Lord. And even as a mature man, he sort of took the huff with the man of God and with the message. And then a disease came upon him in his feet. And rather than seeking the Lord, he turned to others. And why it's right and proper to seek physicians and doctors for help. And in all things we should seek the Lord. But Asa didn't do that. At one point in his life, he was very strong in prayer. He rested in the Lord. He called upon the Lord, showing his faith in him. Whenever he was on the verge of a great battle, we rest in thee and in thy name we go. We're trusting thee, Lord, for all things. And yet at a later time in his life, he failed to seek the Lord, failed to call upon the Lord, and failed to trust in him when he had this terrible disease upon him. And there's a lesson there for us as believers. We could be strong in our prayer life today, or perhaps like Asa, we could have been strong in our prayer life in times gone by. And yet now, we find ourselves that our prayer life has been weakened. We don't pray as often as we once did. We don't give the time that we ought to seek the Lord in prayer. And that's what happened to Asa, Jehoshaphat's father. He was a good man. He was a great man. But there were failings in his life. And while he was mighty in prayer at one stage, yet he missed out and he failed in prayer at another point in his life. And may the Lord help each and every one of us to be constant in prayer. Pray without ceasing. And in every circumstance and situation, to seek the Lord. Because it was a result of that disease in his feet and not seeking the Lord that Asa passed away and died. And it was upon his death then that this man, Jehoshaphat, began to reign. And what really set Jehoshaphat out or brought him to my mind and to my heart was the fact that in his reign, he faced a great crisis. And surely there are lessons there for us. We look back on our lives and we've experienced nothing like what we're experiencing now. There were times in Jehoshaphat's life when everything went smoothly, everything went well. He had great success and prosperity within his kingdom, but he came to a point in his life and in his ministry where he faced and he reigned and ruled through a great crisis. And over the next number of weeks, as God helps us, we'd like to just look at the build-up to this crisis and then see how Jehoshaphat came through that crisis. And I trust that the Lord will bless it to our souls. The first six verses really introduce us to the reign of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And so I've entitled it The Commencement of His Reign. And there are 5 points. And really, folks, this, I'm only really going to outline this passage to you now and mention a few points. There are 5 that I have. We'll make a brief comment on each of them. And then we're going to spend a little time in prayer. I will lead in prayer live, but then we will conclude. And we trust that you will take a little time if you're watching on with your husband or your wife. Maybe the children are gathered with you, whatever the case may be. Just take a little time at the end to pray unto the Lord. And we'll give you some prayer points as well at that time. So what do we learn about the commencement of Jehoshaphat's reign? Well, 5 things. First of all, we see his strengthening. In verse 1, it tells us that Jehoshaphat, his son, that is the son of Asa, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. He strengthened himself against Israel. Israel at this point, sadly and tragically, had been an enemy. It was a recent enemy. In fact, if you turn back just a page to chapter 16 and verse 1, you will see that in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, that is Jehoshaphat's father, that Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he may let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. And so just a number of years before Jehoshaphat had come to the throne, the northern tribes had turned against Judah and they had waged a war upon King Asa. But the Lord brought Asa and Judah through. He strengthened them. He gave them the victory. And now that Jehoshaphat has come to the throne, the first thing he is recorded as doing is strengthening himself against that recent enemy. Israel was not only a recent enemy, but they were a surprising enemy. For though the 10 tribes to the north had separated themselves and set up their own king, as I said in the introductory remarks, the Lord had told them that they were not to go to war the one with the other. And they had lived up until that time in relative peace and good terms. So it was a surprising enemy, it was a recent enemy, and it was a conquered enemy, because the Lord had given Israel the victory and the help to come through. And so when Jehoshaphat came to the throne, he recognized there was an enemy there, and he had to strengthen his own kingdom against that enemy. There's a very personal and practical lesson there, that we at times need to strengthen ourselves against the enemy. And as God's children, as Christians, our enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. These foes rage against us. They seek to destroy our communion with Christ, our confidence in him, and they seek to war against us. But when the Lord gives us the victory, like Jehoshaphat strengthening himself against the enemy, we should strengthen ourselves against our spiritual enemies and seek to take steps that we will continue in the victory of the Lord. So that was the very first thing Jehoshaphat did. He strengthened himself. And my friends, I encourage you at this time to strengthen yourself in the Lord, and do not let the present circumstances shake your faith or turn you away from the Lord or to question him, but strengthen yourself against the enemy and in the things of God. I want you to notice, secondly, tonight in verse 2, we not only see his strengthening, but we see his success. I'm actually referring to verse 3, but verse 2 sets the context for that. He placed forces, soldiers, on a war footing in all the fenced cities of Judah, and he set garrisons in the land of Judah. He brought the soldiers or the army out, and we as Christians are in the army of the Lord. We're soldiers of the cross, and we're told to put on the whole armour of God, that we may stand in the evil day and overcome the evil day. And you'll notice in verse 3 that it says the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought none to Balaam. Jehoshaphat was successful in what he did. He strengthened himself against the enemy. He placed his soldiers in the fenced cities, and he set his troops to defend the kingdom, and he was successful in it. And verse 3 tells us really the secret of his success. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Isn't that the greatest blessing, folks, that we can know? The hymn writer said, if I have Jesus, Jesus only, my sky will have a gem. He's the sun of brightest splendor, and he's the star of Bethlehem. And if we have the Lord with us, then I want to tell you, spiritually, we will be successful. The Old Testament record of Joseph's life tells us that the Lord was with him, and Joseph prospered. He prospered in the things of God because God was with him. And as the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, he had great and good success. And I want to say to you tonight, we can only succeed, and we can only succeed even in the very small things when we have the Lord with us. Jesus told his disciples, without me, ye can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can't do the little things. You can't do just the normal things. You can't do the menial things. You can do nothing without me, absolutely nothing. We need the Lord's presence and help with us just to do the little things in life. And in the battle against the enemy, in a bid to strengthen ourselves, we will only be successful with the Lord's presence. And I want you to see something. I want you, if you have your Bible open before you, look at verse 3. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because. If you mark your Bible, just circle the word because. It gives you the reason. It tells you why the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. And why, therefore, then he was successful in what he was doing for the Lord and for the Lord's kingdom. Because he walked in the first ways of his father David. David was the man after God's own heart. David was a man who saw that he wasn't a perfect man, but he was a godly man who walked in the ways of the Lord. And he walked in the first ways of his father David, particularly emphasizing the early days of David's life. He followed and sought the Lord. And because he walked in the ways of the Lord and didn't follow after false religion or idols or images, God was near unto him and with him. Child of God, what a lesson that is. If we want the abiding, powerful presence of the Lord manifested in our lives, that we might be successful in the Christian life, then we need to seek to follow the Lord and to walk in his ways, in the ways of obedience, in the ways of following him. And I trust that each and every one of us, our ways and our testimony will be even as the Lord said to Joshua, that he would have good success if he meditated upon the book of the law, the word of God, and it was found in his mouth. I trust that you'll endeavour to walk in the ways of the Lord and know his presence and his help and his blessing in your life. We not only consider then his success and his strengthening, but notice the seeking in verse 4. Because it tells us there, rather than seeking on to Balaam, Balaam was the false prophet. Balaam was the one who was engaged in not only false religion, but idolatry. He didn't seek Balaam, but he sought the Lord God of his father. He sought the Lord. And I tell you, in these days of trouble, in these days of trial, in these days of hardship, we need to seek the Lord. The ungodly need to seek him. People who are not Christians, they need to recognize that God is sovereign and over all. He's in control of all things. This pestilence, the coronavirus, has not taken him by surprise. The Bible foretells that there would not only be wars and famines, but there will be pestilences at various times throughout the history of this world until the Savior returns. And at such a time, men and women need to recognize that the Lord is on the throne, that he is over all and in all and through all. He is the God and creator of all. He is the Savior of sinners if they will seek him. And men and women, I urge you, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek him and live and experience and know eternal life. But God's people need to seek the Lord without a shadow of a doubt. God's people need to seek the Lord. Seeking the Lord involves knowledge. Where do we find the knowledge of the Lord? We'll find it in the scriptures. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. We'll find the Lord in the scriptures, in the word of God. This is a time to get into the book. This is a time to get into God's word and to search it out and to discover the ways and the works of the Lord. Seeking the Lord involves prayer. Call upon me and I will answer and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We need to seek the Lord. And we need to seek him in earnest prayer Ask and it shall be given unto thee. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. But can I show you also from verse 4, seeking the Lord leads to obedience. When we seek the Lord with all our heart, we'll find him. And he'll lead us in the paths of obedience. Because it tells us he walked in his commandments. When he sought the Lord, he walked in his commandments. Child of God, it's time to get back to the commandments of the book. It's time to ask ourselves, are we living up to the commands of God? The commandments of the Lord don't save us. The commandments of the Lord are God's standard of righteousness. And when he saves us, he gives us a new heart to walk in his ways and his commands. And therefore, we need to constantly challenge ourselves. Are we walking in the commands of the Lord? Are they our priority? And are we living faithfully by them? Seeking the Lord involves knowledge. Seeking the Lord involves prayer. Seeking the Lord leads to obedience. And seeking the Lord, it rejects apostasy. For verse 4 tells us, he walked in the Lord's commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Israel, you'll read in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 26 to 33, they had set up two idols and golden calves. Their king Jeroboam feared that if they went to Jerusalem to worship, they would return to Judah. And so he set up two idols and images, and he said the people would worship the idols and images in Dan and Bethel. But the distinction is drawn in the life of Jehoshaphat. He sought the Lord. He walked in the Lord's ways, and therefore he did not walk in the ways of Israel with spiritual idolatry and apostasy. Again, it teaches us a very simple lesson, folks. If we are walking with the Lord, if we're seeking the true God of heaven and earth, we will not have fellowship with false religion, with idolatry, with false worship and ways. We will purify our hearts. And we will worship the Lord in spirit, from the heart, and in truth, according to his word. I want to move on. I want to come to a close. There's two other things I just want to mention from this little outline. We not only learn of Jehoshaphat's strengthening and his success and his seeking of the Lord, but we see his stability and also his stirring. Look at verse 5. It speaks about his stability. It tells us the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. Whenever he sought the Lord, he did that which was right. He walked in his ways. He obeyed the Lord in worship, in the commands of the scriptures. The Lord blessed him, and the Lord established, the Lord strengthened the kingdom in his hand. May the Lord establish us in the faith. I just quote the desire of Peter for New Testament believers in 1 Peter 5 and 10. He said, "The God of all grace, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." And may the Lord establish us. May he strengthen us in the things of God and the faith of the gospel. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, he told his disciples, when they see all these things, he was talking about war, he was talking about famine, he was talking about disease and pestilence, told them not to be troubled, but to trust in him. For all these things must be, and the end is not yet. My friend, when we see the troubles in our world, as God's children, let us encourage ourselves that the Lord is with us. He will bring us through, and he will bless us, and may he establish us in the faith. May these things not shake our faith, but may they settle us in the faith that all these things must come to pass before the end comes. And may you be established and strengthened in the gospel, even as the Lord established Jehoshaphat in the kingdom. The final thought is this, you'll see a stirring in verse 6. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Have you ever experienced that? Where your heart is just so blessed, so thrilled, so taken up with the things of God, that all you want to do is further follow the Lord, to get to know him more, to call upon him more, to do more of his work. This is a time when we are set aside publicly from doing the work of God. We're shut in and we're seeking to have an internet ministry. But we look forward to the day when we'll be able to publicly serve the Lord again. And oh, that the Lord would lift up our heart in his ways. That we'll seek first the kingdom of God. We'll set our heart to serve him. And that the Lord will stir us up to do the will of the Lord. When he was stirred up, you'll see that he made further and greater reformation in the land. Verse 6 finishes with, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. He further reformed the land from the apostasy that had been there in generations gone by. His heart was stirred to do the work of God. And I trust and pray that you will know that. May this be a time of being set aside in your home, seeking the Lord. And may he come and stir your soul, that when the doors are opened once again, we can be stirred to do the work and the will of the Lord. So this is just the commencement of Jehoshaphat's reign. And next week we will come to look at the conduct, or his conduct, throughout the early part of his reign in the next part of the chapter. Can I just repeat the words of welcome for anybody that's tuning in? This is the first time that I've ever done anything like this. I've never broadcast live over Facebook. I'm not even on Facebook. I'm using the church's account here, the broadcast live. But trust it's been a blessing to those that have been able to be with us from 8 o'clock. The reason we're doing it is because Wednesday night is normally the night of our prayer meeting and Bible study, and want to do a little Bible study, then encourage you. It's about 8:42 now. It'll be good if we finish and just go to a little time of prayer in our own homes. Can I give a couple of announcements before I lead in prayer? Do pray particularly for the coronavirus outbreak throughout the world. There's a lot of things we need to pray for in relation to that. Pray for the protection of God's people. Pray for the preservation of his church in every way throughout this time. We can't have our public services. We can't evangelize. We can't do the work of the Lord publicly the way we normally do. So pray for the preservation of his church throughout this time. Pray for the healing of the sick, particularly those that have been struck down with this awful virus. I've been receiving phone calls over the past number of days of people who have the symptoms. They're closed into their own homes. Maybe their loved ones have the symptoms. It's a very worrying and trying time. And I want you please to pray particularly for those people who have the symptoms, and particularly the severe symptoms of this awful virus. Pray for the supply of our needs, that God will meet with us and meet our needs during this time. Pray that God will speak to those who are not Christians and show them the reality and the power and the blessing of the gospel, that they'll come to Christ. And pray that the Lord will bring an end and be merciful, bring an end to this pandemic, and that he will speak to the nations through it. There's one special request for prayer tonight. A little child connected with our congregation in Bethany. His grandparents come to our church, and his aunt. Little child by the name of Riley Patterson. You will know if you're from Bethany the circumstances with Riley. He, God willing, is to go to Dublin on Tuesday for surgery. surgery that had been planned for some time. The outbreak of this virus hopefully will not affect that. So I want you please to pray for Riley Patterson, the little grandson of Jack and Alison, that operation will go ahead, that it will be a success, that God will undertake for Riley, for his mom, his dad and his grandparents and his family at this particular time. I also mention finally that our presbytery has called an afternoon of prayer this Sunday in our own homes, obviously. Be a public gathering, but in our own homes, our presbytery is asking us to set aside time to pray again, particularly for this coronavirus outbreak and epidemic, pandemic, and pray that the Lord will step into this situation, that we'll humble ourselves, we'll call upon the Lord, and as Abraham prayed for Sodom, that we pray for the peoples of this world, that the Lord will spare them and that the Lord will bring us through and he will undertake. I'm going to just say a wee word of prayer. I'm going to be brief. My voice is getting very weak, talking for so long. I've had a lot of phone calls to make over the past few days and all our pastoral work now is being done over the phone. So the voice is getting weaker even as I speak. I'm just going to lead in a wee word of prayer. And then please take the time when the video ends, the live stream ends, to have a wee word of prayer yourself unto the Lord and pray for these matters that are before us. Our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come to thee. We humble ourselves before thee, Lord. We recognize that we're so weak and so frail. We think of the question of the psalmist. In the 8th Psalm, when he asks, what is man? Lord, we think we're great. We think we're so advanced. We think we're so knowledgeable. And yet, Lord, a new virus has come into this world. And the world is in meltdown and it's in shutdown. And oh God, our Father, the nations don't know what to do. We just ask you, Lord, that thou will be merciful and gracious to the kingdoms of men. We pray, Lord, that they will see that God is speaking. God is showing to man his frailty, his weakness, his lack of knowledge, his inability. We pray there will be a humbling under the mighty hand of God and a turning to him who in love sent his Son, not to give life for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. We pray, Lord, there will be a turning unto God. We pray, Lord, that thou will be pleased to stay thy hand upon this plague, this pandemic, and Lord, that it will be halted, and halted very soon. We pray again for the healing of the sick. We pray for those young and old who are afflicted by this virus. Bless the medical teams. Bless the doctors and the nurses. Give them wisdom, strength and help to treat these patients. And Lord, may they make a good recovery. We pray, Lord, that you'll give wisdom to our civil leaders, our government. We ask, Lord, that they will be strengthened to make the decisions that need to be taken. We pray that our people will be wise and observe the various restrictions that have been placed and advised upon them. We ask, Lord, that thou will give us help, each one, to get through this time. I want to pray for little Riley. Thank you, Lord, for him. Thank you for thy hand upon his life thus far. Thank you, Lord, for sparing him, and we pray as he goes for that heart surgery on Tuesday. Next week, Lord, that thou wilt undertake and bless him, that thou wilt bring him safely through it. Lord, be with his mum and his dad and his grandparents and grant to them the peace of God that passeth all understanding, be able to keep their hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and our blessed God. So, Father, hear our prayer. Accept of our thanks for Christ our Saviour. Give us strength to live for thee in these difficult and trying days. Lord, stop this virus in our midst and bring sinners to repentance. May the love and the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be in our lives and shine in us and through us. Be a good testimony and witness to others now and in the days to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. We'll be broadcasting live on sermon audio on Sunday morning from our church to an empty congregation or an empty church, obviously. But do join us in at 11:30. Thank you.